VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on our broadcast here today. Ladies and gentlemen, worldwide pandemics, weapons of mass destruction, the push for globalization, worldwide conflict, the gospel taken around the world, all of this is part of our world today, and it's also foretold in the book of Revelation. You know, with all that's happening around the globe, it's hard not to wonder, is this the end times? The book of Revelation tells us about the world's last days, but many find it kind of intimidating to understand, so they just kind of bypass what it has to say. But our guest today has just released a book that demystifies Revelation and really puts the cookies on the lower shelf so that you can embrace the hope and assurance that it offers. Joining us today on Crosstalk, we welcome back Robert Morgan. He's a writer, a speaker, a pastor, he's written more than 35 books in print and some 5 million copies in circulation. He's been with us before. We've talked about Then Sings My Soul, providing us hymn history, 100 Bible verses that made America, the defining moments that shaped our enduring foundation of faith, the Red Sea Rules, the Jordan River Rules, and today with his latest book, The 50 Final Events in World History, The Bible's Last Days on Earth, Final Days. And Pastor Morgan, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Oh, you're welcome, Jim. I'm always honored to be with you. It's a great joy of mine. I always look forward to it.
Well, your book here that has just come out, we understand that there are many today who just shy away from the book of Revelation. Why is that?
Well, it can be an intimidating book. It can be. It has some symbolism in it. It has some monsters in it, as it were. But my contention, and I've been studying this book for 45 years, is that really is simple. If you look at it in just a linear sequence of the things that are going to happen at the end of time. And the symbols tend to be interpreted for us as we read it. And, you know, the name of the book is not obscurity. It is not confusion. It is revelation, because the first verse says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave to his servants to show them what must soon take place. And it only stands to reason that the last book of the Bible, God would want us to understand it. And if there was ever a generation that needed to understand it, it's ours. Let me say that all of the 65 books of the Bible lead to Revelation, and all 22 chapters of Revelation lead to heaven. And it's a wonderful book to study in days like this.
Now, there are some, and I've heard them argue, prophecy really doesn't matter. How do you respond to that?
Well, if it doesn't matter, it's odd that a third of the Bible is made up of prophecy. It certainly mattered to God. And when you read the ministry of Jesus, he devoted the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24 and 25 to telling us what's going to happen in the future. Paul devoted 1st and 2nd Thessalonians to it. Peter devoted 2nd Peter chapter 3 to it. We have the entire book of Revelation. We have many prophecies in the Old Testament books. And so there are thousands, literally thousands of verses of prophetic information. And it's not just to satisfy our curiosity. It's certainly not to confuse us, but it's to give us motivation, to give us hope, to show us that things are going to end up where God has intended. He has a plan for this world, and he has a plan for eternity, and he has a plan for you and me. And without prophecy, we would have no idea what that is.
And you just said a key word, I believe. You used the word hope, because many times when people look at world events and they see things happening, or they look at the judgments that will unfold in the book of Revelation, they have fear, they have despair. But really, Revelation is a book of hope.
Well, it is. And even the judgments, what is being judged there is evil and sin. All the way through the book of Revelation, heaven is rejoicing, because all of the suffering, the evil, the sin, the wickedness, the diabolical forces of this world are being dealt with and judged, and the kingdom that we've been praying about when we say, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that kingdom is being ushered in and from there on to heaven. So it is a very hopeful book. My wife passed away a couple of years ago, and I get so much joy reading the last chapters of the Bible, knowing yes. where she is and what it's going to be like when we meet again. So it's a book that brims with hope.
Why did you choose to write this book on Bible prophecy, a book on Revelation? You've got so many topics that you've written about previous. Why this topic?
Well, that's a very good question. I've never written on biblical prophecy before, but I have been studying each one of the books of the Bible individually for a long time. I feel like that when we open the pages of the Bible, we step into a room with 66 friends, and our lifelong pursuit is to get to know each one of these friends, the 66 different books of the Bible. And I've found through the years that when I preach on Revelation or I teach a class on Revelation, it has an interest that no other class that I teach has. Hmm. People come in larger numbers. They're interested. People are hungry to know what this book says and to understand it. And I finally felt that I was prepared to put it into writing. My goal, Jim, is to make the book of Revelation simple enough for a middle schooler to understand it.
Wow, wow. And folks, as you go through the book, it is there. I mean, it makes Revelation very easy to understand as it takes us through, guides us through the book of Revelation. We'll be telling you how you can obtain a copy of this book, The 50 Final Events in World History. Robert Morgan, our guest here today. Robert, you indicate that there is a code for understanding the book of Revelation. What is that code?
When you read through the book, and I didn't see this for a long time, but you notice that the action or the scene of the point of view changes from heaven to earth. For example, in Revelation chapter 1, John is down on earth and he is exiled. This is the last surviving apostle who was the bishop in the city of Ephesus, but he is exiled to the island of Patmos because of his faith. But then suddenly the scene shifts and he sees the glorious enthroned Jesus up in heaven. And then in chapters 2 and 3, we're back down on earth diagnosing the condition of the churches. In chapters 4 and 5, it's a glorious worship service in heaven, and that alternating pattern continues throughout the entire book. So we are getting heaven's commentary on earth's events, the things that happen down here during the tribulation period. Heaven is giving us a commentary, a color commentary. It's like a football game where the announcers give you the play-by-play and tell you what it means. And that's indicative, Jim, of the way we must look at life. We must understand life from heaven's perspective. We've got to learn and be so filled with Scripture and with the mind of God that when things happen here, We instinctively begin to look at them the way that God does and evaluate the things of earth according to the invisible realities that are explained to us in the Bible. And that helps us to navigate not just the book of Revelation, but really all of life.
You indicate in your book that if we understand the first chapter, we can correctly interpret the subsequent vision. So tell us about that first chapter. What's in there that we should know?
Well, chapter 1 of Revelation is a very simple chapter. It divides into the prologue and then into the opening vision for the book. And in the prologue, we have the title of the book, Revelation, and how it was transmitted and why it was given. There is a prayer for us to receive it and to be blessed by it. And then we have that opening vision of Jesus. And, you know, I was thinking the other day that I saw a friend from high school days that I've not seen in, well, over 50 years, half a century. And I was so surprised because I remembered him as a young teenage fellow, and now he's an old man. And I was wondering if he was thinking the same thing about me.
You're right.
Well, it was 65 years between the Lord's ascension and this vision when John saw his old friend again. And that glorious vision of Jesus is the at the end of chapter 1 of Revelation is the closest visual description we have of Jesus Christ in the entire Bible. Mm. Now, there is some symbolic overlay, just like when the President of the United States comes out. He's literal, but he may have the seal of the executive office on the podium. He might have an American flag behind him. There is some symbolic overlay there, but the scene is literal. And so I think that John sees Jesus the way that Jesus is right now.
Yeah.
And the biblical portrait of Christ is incomplete without the finishing brushstrokes that we see in Revelation.
Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the only book of the Bible that promises a blessing to the person who reads it.
There is a very great promise at the beginning and at the end of Revelation, telling us that those who will study this book will be blessed by God.
Mm.
It's in chapter 1, and it's again in chapter 22. So the whole book ends with blessings promised to those who will study Revelation, and we need that blessing right now.
Another key to this book of Revelation is an outline that's provided us in chapter 1, right there in verse 19. What is that outline?
So John was told by the Lord Jesus, write what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. What you have seen is just what John had seen in chapter 1, the vision of Jesus enthroned and glorified in heaven. What is now is the condition of the churches, which is described in chapters 2 and 3, and what will be the things in the future, beginning chapter 4. So the prophetic part of Revelation that gives us what's going to happen the 7 years or so before Jesus returns, that begins in chapter 4 and goes through the end of the book. So it's a simple threefold structure that's given in that one verse.
Okay, that's chapter 1, verse 19, folks. You can look it up and see that outline that is there for the book of Revelation. And we're just going to slightly introduce our topic here as a break comes upon us here shortly, a minute away. But chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation provide a message to the seven churches, and I know we could spend a full program just on this topic alone, but as an overview, what should be our takeaway from these letters?
The Lord wants us to be as strong and healthy as possible. Now, he was about to give his secret information about the future, which not even the angels had learned about. He was about to entrust that to seven little congregations in the area of Western Turkey. And he wanted those churches to be as healthy as they could be. And so he sent each one of them a miniature epistle, a small message. And those seven messages are in chapters 2 and 3 to these seven churches, diagnosing where they were weak and where they were strong. And, Jim, it helps us to study that because we see ourselves in our own churches in it. And we're the ones now to be passing on the contents of Revelation to others. And so those seven little letters help us see how we can be stronger in the task that we've got to do.
Robert Morgan with us here today on Crosstalk, discussing his latest book, The 50 Final Events in World History. Folks, it's a remarkable read, and again, it makes it very understandable here as he presents the book of Revelation. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, this might seem simple, but where did music come from?
Chris, music is an integral part of being in the image of God. The early chapters of Genesis reveal that just within a few generations of creation, men were constructing musical instruments, both wind instruments and string instruments. Soon we see that even this was perverted. Lamech, one of the patriarchs, even sang a song boasting of his adventures and murderous prowess. Musical instruments have been found from soon after the flood. Even Neanderthal fossils are found in conjunction with musical instruments. You see, Chris, the evidence that we find supports the biblical truth of creation. Even music started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, the 50 final events in world history. And friends, I look at the clock here, and we've got a lot to unfold, but you know what? Time's not going to permit for us to do it. We're going to cover as much ground as we can today, but we would like to encourage you to obtain a copy of this book. It is, again, it makes the book of Revelation so much easier to understand as he breaks it down for us. It helps us understand that key of understanding what's happening on earth, what's going on in heaven. Certainly, chapter 1, verse 19, the outline for the book, the current message to the message to the seven churches, what their strengths were, what their weaknesses, where they excelled, where they failed, where they needed to make correction, and what a message for us today. And then we're going to be getting into those 50 final events. Now, this is a featured book of the month during this month of April at the VCY bookstore. The 50 final events in world history is a hardcover book, 245 pages. It retails as a hardcover for $24.99. However, through April 30th, 2022, the VCY bookstore is offering this book at 45% off the regular price, making it available for just $13.74 plus any applicable tax or shipping. It is available right now at VCY.com, VCY.com, or 1-888-722-4829. The calendar says we're not far from April 30th, so I'd just like to encourage you to take advantage of it. Again, you may call 1-888-722-4829. Robert Morgan is our guest. And Pastor Morgan, we're going to look at part two of your book, and that's the majority of your book covering the 50 final events as revealed in Revelation chapters 4 through 22. And you indicate that chapter 4, verse 1 could indicate the very first event, the rapture of the church. Could you comment on that, please?
Yes. The Apostle Paul talked about the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the church will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, John doesn't use that exact language anywhere in the book of Revelation. So we have to say, where in Revelation does this event take place? Some people think it's simultaneous with the return of Christ in chapter 19. But there, you can make a strong case that in chapter 4, verse 1, when John hears the voice of Christ like a trumpet and the shout, and there is this phrase, come up here, that indicates that the rapture of the church is going to occur before the tribulation breaks forth. And if so, and that's my own inclination, then that would be the first of the great events leading to the return of Christ, and it could happen at any moment. It makes possible the imminent return of Christ.
Hmm. You know, we're going to get into some specifics throughout here, but you write about the first half of the tribulation. Just in general, what will those times be like?
The first half of the tribulation will be a time in which there will be 14 different judgments against evil in the world that's illustrated by the breaking of seven seals that are sealing a scroll and seven trumpets that are blown by seven different angels. And these various disasters are plausible today. I mean, this is the first time in world history that the world is so interconnected. Globalism is so tight. What happens in one part of the world influences every other part.
Yes.
That this kind of global cataclysm that we see in these different things really makes sense and is possible. So we have these 14 major events linked together by a few other events of what God is doing in the world. But the whole result is to drive people to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and to judge the evil in the hearts of those who adamantly refuse.
And in your book, you go through these chapter by chapter. For instance, chapter 5 tells about that scroll and the judgments. Again, we can't go into great detail, but what we see unrolled in that scroll is very significant, and it's very plausible as we see events unfolding today, just how this is so realistic for a future event.
I just couldn't believe, as I began to study this again, how much what I was reading in Revelation is already being reflected in the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, if you Google the phrase, the end of the earth or the end of the world, it's not Christians and preachers that are using that phrase. It's scientists and experts. And they list, you can come up with a list of 20 or 30 plausible, catastrophic ways in which the world could end or descend into the Dark Ages. And you'll see them all reflected somewhere in the book of Revelation. So this is becoming a very relevant book for us to study.
Yes, indeed. And as we see those seals unroll, things like war and famine and death, I mean, it is as much that will be unfolded in judgments upon this earth. And we look at these world conditions, and they look so very realistic. I mean, some years ago we had to imagine these things, but today we can see how something that happens in Russia-Ukraine, as you mentioned, one event in one portion of the world can impact the world as a whole. And much of this unfolding is easy to see how it is going to unfold here in the future as well. But after these sealed judgments, which you've listed as each one a separate event, looking at event number 10 in your book, you list as 144,000 Jewish evangelists are commissioned. Commissioned by who and commissioned to do what?
This is one of the reasons why I think it's plausible that the church has been raptured. And now the world is without the active church in the world, but God wins to himself 144,000 Jews, Jewish men, who are going to be just as zealous, each one of them, as the Apostle Paul. And he commissions them to go around the world preaching the gospel of Christ. And I believe that there's going to be a revival, a harvest, an awakening, millions upon millions of people coming to Christ because they realize they're in the last days, that something catastrophic has happened, that things are turning dark, that evil is being judged. And so these 144,000 evangelists are going to go all over the world with great success. And during the first half of the tribulation, we get many indications in Revelation that there will be a wonderful evangelistic harvest. During the last half of the tribulation, people will still come to Christ, but most people will be much more hardened, evil will be more resistant, and it will be a more difficult time.
Event number 13 in your book, you indicate of a global firestorm erupting. What is to take place?
Well, this is the first trumpet judgment, and somehow there's just going to be a series of wildfires, which we read about a lot in the paper right now. There's going to be some kind of cataclysm. It could be supernaturally caused. It could be an asteroid. It could be a nuclear explosion. But it's going to sort of set the world on fire, and a portion of the earth is going to be destroyed. And then we see something very similar happen with a second trumpet with the oceans. A part of the water is going to be contaminated. And we read about this every day in the newspaper. And then in the third trumpet, it's the fresh water. And then in trumpet number four, the sunlight is diminished. So these different plagues are the very things that scientists are talking about today, but they were predicted by John 2,000 years ago in the pages of Revelation.
You know, and it's amazing. I was just listening to a message this morning by Dr. Adrian Rogers, and who indicated that all the prophecies that foretold the coming of Christ, his first coming, you know, they happened to a T. I mean, they happened exactly as the prophets had foretold, and he said that we can also believe that every one of these predictions regarding Christ's return, his second coming, and the judgments to unfold is also going to happen just as the prophets here have foretold as well.
Yes, and I've been reading through the book of Isaiah for my devotions. I'm going through it for the second time now. And I have never seen so clearly how Isaiah is saying exactly the same thing as John says in Revelation.
Many hundreds of years earlier.
Yes. Many hundreds of years earlier, but Isaiah makes the same kind of predictions. And the description of the Battle of Armageddon is in many different passages in Isaiah, and it corresponds exactly to Revelation. Jim, there is a cohesiveness to biblical prophecy that ties the whole Bible together, and it gives me tremendous interest and hope.
Robert Morgan, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and has put together a very powerful book entitled The 50 Final Events in World History. And he lists them out. This event number one, event number two, event number three, and the seal judgments each are a different event. The trumpet judgments each another event. But for sake of time, we're going to jump to event number 21. Two super prophets are commissioned. Why do you call them super prophets?
These are two characters. They are heroic. They are powerful. They are Jewish. They are indestructible. They are the closest thing in the whole Bible to the superheroes that people are so enamored with today in the movies. And they are going to minister, it's my opinion, during the second half of the tribulation in downtown Jerusalem. And the Antichrist will try to destroy them. The world will hate them. They're going to be proclaiming out the gospel, but no one can touch them. They're going to be almost indestructible or imperishable until, at the very end, they are killed. And then the whole world will rejoice, it says. And as people are watching from all over the world, there's an implication there of satellite television, maybe. Mm-hmm. But as people all over the world are watching, these two characters will rise from the dead and ascend into heaven, and that's going to be the sign that things are just about to wrap up on earth. We don't know the identities of these two people, and I talk about some of the speculations in my book, but we do know that they're going to be special ordained representatives of God with the gospel, because the Lord never leaves the world without some kind of witness of Christ.
Yeah. Is there something significant that happens between the first half of the tribulation and the second half?
This is a very important part. It's Revelation chapters 12 and 13. This is when the devil is aroused to the greatest level of fury that we see him in all of the Bible. He takes the world ruler that is trying to grasp a globalistic government authority. He converts him into a supernatural force known as the Antichrist. And this is, and again, we don't have time to go into a lot of detail here, but Daniel and Paul and Jesus and John all talk about this Antichrist putting up his own image in the rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem and demanding to be worshipped. And that will trigger the last 3.5 years of great tribulation.
Well, friends, we're just a short time from the break here, and we're going to, in our next segment, we're going to talk about the rise of the Antichrist, a false trinity, the mark of the beast, and several of these issues that are unfolded in the book of Revelation, as well as the bowl judgments or the vial judgments that are going to be unfolded. Each of these as listed as different events, the final 50 final events in world history. Robert Morgan, the author of the book, and it's available at 45% off through April 30th at vcy.com. VCY.com or by calling our bookstore 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. A great book to sit down and study as you've got the book of Revelation open and to use this as a companion guide in going through the book of Revelation. Well, we've got much more to unfold here in the next segment, so stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Did you know astronomers Copernicus, Galileo, Kepler, and others made profound statements of faith? Did you know Samuel F.B. Morse, inventor of the telegraph and Morse code, said, "The only gleam of hope, and I cannot underrate it, is from confidence in God." These and many more such quotes and stories can be found in the book, Miraculous Milestones. In this book, Bill Federer examines the faith of those who achieved significant milestones in science, medicine, and innovation. You'll learn how the church pioneered hospitals and medical care for the poor because of the belief in the sanctity of human life. You'll read about Dr. Benjamin Rush, Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Louis Pasteur, and others. Miraculous Milestones is available for a donation of $19 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. You know our guest. He's been with us before with his book series, Then Sings My Soul, the hymn history books, 100 Bible verses that made America, also the Red Sea Rules, the Jordan River Rules, books that have been a blessing to so many, and lots of other books here, too. But this is his latest one, The 50 Final Events in World History, The Bible's Last Words on Earth's Final Days. And again, breaks down the book of Revelation in a very understandable way. It does not need to be a book of mystery or one to avoid, but helps us understand and guide us through the book of Revelation. Here through the book and being offered through our VCY bookstore at 45% off this month. If you missed the web address and phone number, we'll give that to you a little bit later. But I do want us to take at least this segment of the program as well to develop further the book because we're not even halfway through. But event number 24, you talk about the rise of the Antichrist. And Pastor Morgan, you're talking of a literal person, correct?
I believe it is a literal person because Paul calls him the man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think that the teaching about the Antichrist goes all the way back to the first prophecy in the Bible about the seed of the devil in Genesis 3:15. We have the Antichrist described very vividly in the book of Daniel. We have him described in the book of Ezekiel. Jesus refers to this tribulation that he will cause. And then Paul devotes this incredible 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 to the man of lawlessness. Mm-hmm. And then we have him more fully rounded out for us in his personality and deeds in the book of Revelation. So, yes, I think it's a specific individual that will be coming along or maybe is already here on the earth right now.
You also write about a false trinity. What do you mean by that?
Well, the devil wants to replicate whatever God is doing. And so the devil is a sort of anti-God the Father. The Antichrist, which is the name that John gives him in the epistles, is the Antichrist. But then there is the false prophet who is raised up. And the false prophet is like the anti-Holy Spirit. So you see that in the last days, during the tribulation, there are three characters that come together to form a diabolical evil trinity to destroy the nation of Israel and to take control of the entire earth. And they are the ones who will bring together the armies of the world at Armageddon against Israel.
Hmm. Let's move on to another issue, and that is event number 27, the Mark of the Beast. Now, we have seen us propelled worldwide during this time of COVID toward a cashless society. Some countries are faster than others as far as getting there. I'd like you to unfold for us this Mark of the Beast. Tell us about it. It's event number 27 in your book.
It's the number 666, and people say, what does that number mean? Well, 777 is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Seven is the biblical number of perfection. Six is the number of humans. We were made on the sixth day of creation, and the devil can never get to perfection. He's always short of perfection. But that somehow, that designation or that number will be some kind of logo or tattoo or microchip or something that will be tattooed or implanted in people's skin, which is, of course, already happening, especially in Scandinavia. And you can't engage in commerce. There'll be no cash, like you say. It's all going to be electronic, and someone without that capability and who receives that card or that mark, they're not going to be able to engage in commerce. They'll be in danger of starving. But there will be people who nonetheless refuse the mark of the beast. But it's described here in Revelation chapter 13 and something to be guarded against. And again, Jim, no other generation could see how plausible this is on a global scale until right now.
Yes, yes. And friends, we're seeing the technology come into place for this. It is already here. And didn't you just hear the clips we played on Crosstalk just a week ago of one of the advisors to Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum talking about how we've had surveillance outside the skin, where you go, what you do. Now we need to have surveillance beneath the skin. That was his words, folks. And that's unfolding before our very eyes right now as well. Well, the book goes on to talk about some of the final messages delivered to the earth, different events. And let's look at event number 30, Christ's Declaration of War. Unfold that for us, if you would.
After the last half of the tribulation begins, the message from heaven is going to be, it is finished, it is coming now to an end, I'm going to deal with evil, and that's when the armies of heaven begin to assemble behind the Lord Jesus Christ to come to rescue the earth and the people of Israel in particular. And Christ just declares that now the war is joined. He is coming to rescue. He is coming again. He is coming to establish his kingdom. He's coming to slay the Antichrist with the splendor of his appearance and with the voice of his mouth. And so this is when things reach a fever pitch in world history with a world war state of alarm that has never been seen before, will never be seen again, and warfare begins to erupt around the entire earth. And that's when the Lord sends the final series of judgments, the seven bowls of wrath described in the last half of, or described in Revelation chapter 16.
And again, those are each of those are individual events that are outlined in the book. What eventually happens to the Antichrist, this person who's opposed to Christ?
We have, not only from Revelation, but from the book of Zechariah, the book of Ezekiel, I bring some of these other prophecies together. The scene of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, the state of Israel, which came into existence, as you know, in 1948, it's surrounded by the armies. The beachhead for the, or the forward operating base is Armageddon, north of Jerusalem. But the armies of the world from all directions will surround Jerusalem. The Antichrist will breach the walls. Israel will be on the verge of extinction, just like Hitler tried to do and so many others have tried to do. And at that moment, Jesus will come, and the Antichrist and the armies under him will be slain instantly by the words coming from the mouth of Jesus as he descends from heaven in Revelation chapter 19.
Mm-hmm. The return of Christ, another event. And then event 46 is referring to the millennium. That is going to be a different from the times that the earth has just experienced.
Well, the Lord is going to establish a kingdom, and I think it's for 1,000 years. I take chapter 20 literally.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when you read the book of Isaiah, he goes chapter after chapter after chapter describing what God wants on this kingdom, what God wants on this world with his king on the throne and his Messiah leading the nation. So I think that's going to happen. But that isn't eternity. That's just a period of time in which God will fulfill all of his promises made to the people of Israel. And after that, then eternity begins with the new heavens, the new earth, and the great city of New Jerusalem in the last two chapters of the Bible.
What is the final battle?
The final battle is, the primary final battle is this battle of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
But we are told, almost as a postscript, that at the end of the millennium, the devil will be freed just long enough to wage a little reprise of the Battle of Armageddon, but it will be over as soon as it begins. So when we think of the final battle in popular language, we're thinking of the Battle of Armageddon, which will end when Christ comes again. But there will be some kind of skirmish. Now, nobody understands this. We just read it, and there it is in the book of Revelation chapter 20. But there'll be some kind of skirmish at the end of the millennium, that it will give the final boot to Satan, and he'll be thrown into the abyss and locked in there forever and ever.
Hmm. Event number 49 is one that I wanted to focus on as well, Robert, because this is a very horrible event for those who do not know Christ as Savior. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. If you would tell us about it.
I think it's the most frightening paragraph in the Bible. Those who have never received Christ, or who reject him, or who ignore him, or who neglect him, you know, the only provision for sin is the blood that he shed on Good Friday, on the cross of Calvary. And people who ignore that or trample that underfoot have no other recourse to heaven or to salvation, no other way of finding forgiveness. And one day they'll stand before God individually, one after the other, and this great white throne blazing in fire and in fury to be judged for their sins and condemned to hell. And none of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ will be anywhere near there,
right?
Because we are covered with his blood. But that warning is there at the end of the chapter 20 of Revelation, I think, to do everything possible to encourage people who are neglecting or procrastinating in their relationship with Christ to give him their heart and all of their lives.
Friends, as he said, as Robert said here, that so frightening, whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life is cast into the lake of fire, a very frightening verse to those who don't know Christ as Savior. And I know, Pastor Morgan, there are many who are sitting on the fence as it relates to the relationship to Jesus Christ, waiting to place their trust in him. I'll do it, you know, tomorrow, some other time. What would you say to them right now?
Well, this is no time to procrastinate. These are the last days. When we see what's happening in Ukraine, when we hear about threats of using nuclear weapons, when we think that one man pushing a button or another man somewhere breaking a test tube could bring about the collapse of the world, with the headlines so unpredictable and our very lives so untenable, if anybody ever needed to come to Christ, it is today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would urge anyone listening to take that dead seriously. And before the day is over, before the hour is over, to kneel down and say, "Dear Lord, I want to give myself to you. I want to come to the cross and to the empty tomb of Jesus."
Amen. Amen. Well, we've got just a minute before our next break here, and just unfold for us event number 50 in your book, The New Heaven and the New Earth.
Well, this is what everything is driving for throughout the entire Bible from Genesis 1. Everything is moving towards eternity, and this is a literal new earth. When we think about heaven, we shouldn't think about vapory clouds and floating around with harps. The Bible says there will be a recreated earth, bigger and larger and more beautiful, I think, and more colorful, and without any sin or curse, and without any death or destruction, and new heavens, and this new city of Jerusalem coming down. And this will be our heavenly home. So Revelation 21 and 22, I read it repeatedly through the year, because it's a travel guide of our eternal home, where our loved ones in Christ are, and where all of us who know him will soon be.
Amen. The 50 final events in world history. Folks, we've just done a very fast overview of this, but we're going to open phone lines. And if you could concisely come up with a question for our guest here today to present that, we'll cover it in our last break, in our last segment here, our number 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. This week, millions of Americans will pay taxes. But think about this. Is it really taxes, or at this point, is it outright theft by the federal government? Why do I say that? Because the government, through a progressive income tax, is punishing those who work hard, who save, who invest, who take risks, while the government turns around and seeks to unfreeze billions of dollars to the Iranian government that has vowed to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, a religious system that declares the Jews and the Christians, the people of the book, the enemy. We see that now our government is allowing and encouraging and flying in illegals from all over the world into the U.S. And now they're going to lift Title 42 for perhaps as many as 18 to 20,000 a day or more to come in, all tax-free, getting free benefits while they steal from us to give to them. That's socialism.
You know, friends, we could take a week of programs here on Crosstalk to really break down the events here that are to unfold, the 50 final events in world history. It's in book form, though, and it's put down in a very understandable way, a hardcover book of 245 pages. We didn't even get into the different appendices of the book, but lots of other information there, like a verse-by-verse study, even of Gog and Magog from Ezekiel 38 and 39, Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, also that of different questions. Will we know one another in heaven? Genesis, Revelation, the circle of Scripture, and also of five views of Revelation as well. He presents them in the book for your study as well. But again, time doesn't avail for us to go through all of this, but it is available this month as a book of the month at the VCY bookstore, a hardcover book, 245 pages. The regular retail price is $24.99, but through April 30th, the VCY bookstore is offering this at 45% off, making it available for just $13.74, plus any applicable tax or shipping. It's available at vcy.com, vcy.com, or by calling 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. Going right to the phone lines, Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, the brother, he's so right. We're on the precipice of a happening event. You know, God never set a date or time of his return. His clock was set towards man and the church. And when you see the wickedness of man, which we see, and when you see the falling away of the church, which we see, that's when you'll see that things are going to happen. He lifts the hedge up, and things begin to happen. Yeah. John on the Isle of Patmos, he wrote it all down verbatim that we would have known without doubt. But he said, hide it not, take it, because he wants us to take it by faith and obedience, and to walk uprightly before him and to believe him. Because he doesn't want just people just to try to get under the radar.
Right.
Just because they...
Barry, yeah. Thank you. Did you have a question for our guest today?
No. But his book, is it available?
Yes, and I'll be giving you the website and the phone number once again here before we close. Thank you for the call. He's right. John's unfolded for it. We don't need to shy away from this book, Pastor Morgan.
It's a great book to study. It's a great book to study even with your children. It's understandable. Mm-hmm. It's relevant, and it's full of hope.
And one could actually do this, go through chapter by chapter and actually read it and talk with their children regarding these things.
I have made this book so simple that I want middle schoolers and even maybe elementary children, if they are inclined, to be able to understand the contents of what God is up to in these days and in the future.
We have Kim calling in from Corning, Ohio. Kim, you're on the air.
Hi, I just had a question. I know that the rapture, the church will be taken up, and there will be those that are left behind that aren't Christians. My question is, can they be saved? You know,
yes.
Like, I'm thinking of family right now. Mm-hmm. They're not saved.
Yes. Absolutely, they can be. There are going to be many, many people left behind who will come to know Christ as Savior. The 144,000 evangelists, the two super evangelists, all of those who come to the Lord under their ministry, there is tremendous hope for those left behind that they will be saved.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. And that is not a reason to put off this decision, though, is it, to trust Christ?
No. You don't want to go through the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be saved. You want to be saved before that day gets here.
And
plus, we never know if we're going to live another day, Jim.
Exactly.
We can't gamble with it.
Mm-hmm. And something else we should characterize, that that there's going to be great deception during this time. And those, many will believe lie. And that is also something. So someone is just, and also we have the restraining power of the Holy Spirit that is not going to be restraining any longer.
Yes. All of that is exactly true.
Yeah.
The Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Yeah. We've got Patrick calling from Winchester, Ohio. You're on the air, Patrick.
Hello. Thank you for your program. This is not the question I was calling about, but after the last caller, I will ask about it. I had the impression that those who have heard the truth of the gospel but have rejected it will, the Lord will send a strong spirit of deception, or words to that effect, out of Thessalonians, and that they would be damned. They would not be able to be saved. Maybe I'm not understanding your last answer, but okay. Could you fit that in with...
Great. About the strong delusion. Thank you, Patrick.
Well, yes, there'll be a lot of people who will be deceived, but the Holy Spirit will still be on this earth. Now, he'll not be indwelling the church the way that we saw on the day of Pentecost, but he'll be here working as he did in Old Testament days. The Holy Spirit was very involved in Old Testament days, even before Pentecost. So people will still have the opportunity of being convicted by the Spirit, of hearing the gospel, and of being saved.
Thank you, Patrick. Philip in Richland, Washington, you're on the air.
This is Phil Gorton. I want to read Revelation 22, verse 18, 19, and 20. For I testify to everyone who hears these words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the word of this prophecy...
Okay, you're breaking up quite a bit here on the phone, but you also talk about those who take away from the book of the prophecy here as well. Robert, I just have a comment, but we're getting regular breakups from the caller there.
Yeah, that's at the end of the book of Revelation, warning us not to add or detract from what is written in that book. Every word is important. We don't want to add anything to it. We don't want to take anything away from it. We want to study it as it is.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Thank you, Philip, and I wish we had a better connection there to serve you. We're 30 seconds left, and I wish I had time for more calls, but we don't. Pastor Morgan, what would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, the final prayer of the Bible is, even so come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the Greek, it's Maranatha, and I don't think we're looking forward enough to that day. I think when we see a beautiful sunrise coming up in the east, or a beautiful sunset coming up, or a strange cloud formation, it should just make our hearts say, even so come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Let's look forward to that day and long for his appearing.
Amen. Well, Pastor Morgan, thank you for putting this in a very easy, understandable way to read, and thank you for joining us this hour here on Crosstalk.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jim.
Again, folks, the book, The 50 Final Events in World History, right now at 45% off through April 30th at the VCY bookstore, vcy.com, or by calling 1-888-722-4829. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.